Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Phoenix Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise tobacco on Main Street, Westminster, Maryland, USA. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm Ofumo.
I'm Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
All right, well, we have got something a little special. It is our annual Cuban episode. So we're in the cigar business, and
are we?
If you're in America, Cuban cigars are hard to find. Mm-hmm. Right, you're not allowed to sell them, import them for sale. You can bring some back with you from overseas, and if we're being honest, nowadays you can find them. You know, we got the internet and all of that stuff, and
That was 1969. Like, come on.
Yeah. So. For us, it is a little bit different. Now, I've got friends, I mean, I've been overseas and been like, you know, we can't buy these in America. And they're like, what? I can't even comprehend that that's a thing, right? And so, Cubans are like a little special, like forbidden fruit, hard to find, whatever. Really expensive. So, we are going to smoke Cubans today and rank them just like normal. And so, what we're smoking today is the classic Monte Cristo. So these are double Edmundos, which looks to be, to me, to be a sort of a classic Toro 52 ring gauge.
You're an angel.
Grazie.
Mr. Tom.
Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome.
Oh my God, forbidden fruit. Well, forbidden vegetables.
So we'll get these cut and lit just real quick. Very, very classic Cuban wrapper leaf. This looks like a Cuban cigar. A little rustic and veiny. Also not like perfect quality. And just some like little stuff, you know, on the leaves. That, you know, this is not coming out of a Fernandez factory.
By the way, that is not an indicator of a fake. Sorry to break some hearts, but that is literally Cuban quality. Like,
100%.
Like, we're just, it's hard to explain it. Yep. Like, what? But they're the best. No, it's just, it's the mystique of them.
I don't, people that know cigars don't have that opinion.
That's right. What I'm saying. It's like, yeah.
So, all right, but anyway, this is the classic Monte Cristo. This is my favorite, the only Cuban that I like better than this is the Partagas Serie D. Other than that, this would be my favorite Cuban, historically. So, we're going to try them.
Nice.
All right, I've got my open-ended double guillotine Craftsman's Bench.
You got my trusty Vertigo.
Open-ended double guillotine.
Calibri Deep V.
All right, representing. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors.
The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. And we're just going to tap out some of that dottle. By the way, if you haven't noticed already, this is a reasonably delicate cigar.
Yeah.
A lot of Cuban wrapper leaves are, you know, on the delicate side. However, they're not nearly as delicate as, for example, a Chateau Fuente Natural or a lot of the natural Opus X's.
What a Dominican product.
So, all right, that's a pretty good tap. You guys want to do a cold draw?
Eh, sure.
Mm.
you liked it.
That was like a pear dipped in cayenne pepper. It was just different. I like doing the cold draw. It has nothing to do with how the cigar is going to taste.
Once it's be lit that up. Guy. Oh, this is what it's going to taste like.
Yeah. But it's just a different flavor. What I'm really going for with the cold draw, if you do a cold draw, when I do it, all I'm looking for is like raisin / manure. Because that tells me about the time in aging. Right? It's the more of a raisiny / manure flavor, the longer it's been aged. That's it. It's kind of like smelling the wine cork. You have no idea what that wine is like. That's just, if it smells like fucking dirty socks, it's a corked bottle. You don't want to drink that bottle of wine, right? All right, let's get these lit up. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. All right, so let's let these burn down a little bit. Unless you have something like amazing right off of the, right out of the gate to share. Yeah, me either. Something that is still true, primarily true, with Cuban cigars. Historically, your blend was a brand, and to this day, that is generally true. The Monte Cristo is the Monte Cristo. This is dissimilar to most brands sold in the United States. For example, my father has a bunch of different cigars, right? And part of this is explained by, like, so the factory that makes Cohibas makes other cigars as well. And so if you look at that factory and the farms that supply it as the actual, like, the parent brand, then, you know, Cohiba would be like the My Father Opulencia. Mm-hmm. Right? That's just not how the branding ever worked. Quell Dorsey, Monte Cristo, JFR, a lot of these brands just have one blend, right, historically. And a lot of them are like, the tobacco from here makes this cigar. Mm-hmm. Like, same farm year after year, same region year after year, same supplier year after year. There's some back history there. Cohiba is the one brand where, like, they've become such a big luxury brand. There's the Cohiba Siglo 1, Siglo 2, Siglo 3, Siglo 4. The Cohiba Bahique, the fill in blank. Mm-hmm. Right? But for the most part, it is not uncommon to see Habanos that look just like this. It just says Monte Cristo.
Does it?
There's
no fanciness.
There's nothing else. This is just a Monte Cristo, and then there's the size.
Yeah, if you get something that says that and it looks fancy as shit, it's not Cuban.
Mm-hmm. Well, that will be our topic for today: how to spot fakes.
Okay.
And we're gonna go the other direction: how to spot real ones. Mm-hmm. Right, and that will help you spot fakes. So before we do that, we're a good eighth of an inch in or so. Let's talk about flavor. Angel, what are you tasting?
Spicy dirt. That's it. Spicy dirt.
Spicy dirt?
Spicy dirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting like a half dry hay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Is it? Classic Cuban flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is one of the world's most iconic cigars, if not the iconic cigar.
Light. Now, I think the nicotine strength is a little strong. Typically with Cubans, the nicotine strength doesn't match the palate strength.
Yeah, I'm at a 5.
Yeah, I would say palate strength, I'm at like a 4.
Yeah.
The nicotine feels like it's going to be a 6. It is light, sweet and spicy, which is kind of a hallmark of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
As opposed to Cohiba is more famous for being sweet and floral. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of floral notes in this. This reminds me, probably the closest I would match this to would be, and this is kind of hard. Placencia has a couple cigars that taste like this. Maybe the Cosecha 149. Am I thinking of that one right?
No, it wouldn't be that one. It was the... Fuck. I know which one. The other one that's...
The other one. Yeah.
Fuego?
Maybe.
Yeah, because the 149 is actually pretty good. The, like a sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Fuego, right?
I have a hard time with remembering Placencia's names.
Yeah, yeah. They're not very inventive. Me too. They blend together.
All right,
yeah,
what color band? I'm thinking red band.
Well, they're not super imaginative there either.
Yeah. Okay. That's something in the Fuego line. The Lancero is exceptional with that red label. That part I can remember. Oh, I like the red label. I like the black label. Got to be in the mood for the green label.
I do love this flavor.
Yeah.
This is similar to a... To me, it's similar. Actually, it's similar to a Chateau Fuente Sungrown, but not as spicy. It's not as strong. But it is stronger than a natural. The Chateau Fuente Natural has zero spiciness, and this has a little, and it's cayenne pepper.
Yeah. It's got like a incense secondhand smell to it, too.
Yeah, it does. The secondhand has a little, if you mix grass and like incense, but not flavored incense.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a good Cuban to smoke because... As Tom mentioned, this is a very iconic cigar. Like, this is one of the three cigars that's upheld as, like, the Cuban. This one, a Cohiba Siglo, and or just regular Cohiba. But those are, for some reason, harder to find. They're producing more of their special stuff than their regular, or at least on the shelves.
Yeah.
And probably the third member of the Trinity would be the Partagas.
Partagas. Cuban Partagas.
Now, if you want a classic natural wrapped Cuban cigar that is just taste of Cuba, that would be the Qual d'Orsi. Those are like, they fly under the radar because they're not famous, but you can usually find them. You know, they're a great example of a typical Cuban cigar, and we'll talk more about that.
One of the best Cubans I smoked was a local Cuban cigar. I don't remember. I was too young.
Yeah.
One of my aunts, she was a cigar smoker from Mexico. She gave my mom a pack of 5, and it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike McMullen, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, he used to go to Cuba quite a bit, and there was like a farm he would go to, and they rolled cigars there, and they'd give him like a bundle.
Nice.
Yes, he stocked way up.
Yeah.
During that brief window when you were allowed to bring back more than you are at the moment.
Yeah.
Which you can still bring back a lot. I think you can bring back 3 boxes.
Yeah. There's like a weird value, but it's like, how do you put the value on it?
It's right there. And we'll talk about that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and do socials and surprises? You are our marketing plan. Help me, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope. Like, share, subscribe. Drop us a line, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to share your thoughts with the world. And we are a truly global podcast, for better or for worse. So let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see more of on the show, and we will try to get you incorporated. Today, I have got more surprises than social. What I have here is 3 Mexican cigars. Mm. And these are not available for sale in the U.S. So I wanted to share these. This is the Moñas. This is a Mexican puro in a Robusto size. And this is also a Mexican Puro. This is the Rogers Turo, and this has a Mexican San Andres wrapper. I'll have to splice some pictures in because it's not showing up on camera very well. And this last one is a Simón Rojas El Aniversario. This one was very expensive. This is not a Mexican Puro. They call this Vitola a Belvedere, which I hadn't heard of before. This they call a Robusto. And the only difference between the two is the Belvedere is like a 55. But anyway, this one has got some Dominican tobacco and maybe something else with a Mexican wrapper. So, San Rojas, Rogers, and Moñas, not generally available in the U.S. They're not officially distributed here. Not to say that you can't find them, because you can buy kind of anything online these days. But I wanted to share that with everybody. Since we're already doing Cubans, might as well do some other foreign sticks while we're at it. Angel, which one would you like to try?
Oh, shit. I gotta go for the dark guy.
All right.
Yeah.
And Tom?
One on the left.
Which left? My left or your left?
Simón Rojas.
So give those a smoke. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
And by the way, so this, I met this guy. Here's the backstory of what makes these cool. I met this guy. Now, he was running a shop in the airport.
Okay.
And you get raped, price-wise, at the airport. But he was running a leather goods shop. And this was a classic Mexican leather goods shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it is because, like, the boots for sale, more than half of them are used. And this is how a lot of the world does boots and footwear, is these last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a new pair, you frequently trade your old pair in. They'll resole them or whatever, resell them. This is also super common in Europe. You go to a footwear store, the majority of the stock is actually pre-owned. And it's better because they're broken in already,
right.
You know. And I was that close to buying a pair of boots because they were cool as shit.
Ostrich?
They had everything.
No, the boots that you
were... Yeah, they had everything.
Okay.
They had ostrich, they had alligator... but most of them were just good old steer hide tooled leather. You know that fancy tooling
do
in Mexico. And of course, that's where the cowboy stuff came from. Mm-hmm. All the jingle bobs and leather work and stuff. All of that came from the Spanish influence on Mexico,
mm-hmm.
right? So anyway, I got to talking to this guy immediately. Like, he could tell I was a kindred spirit, but immediately breaks out the tequila. I'm like, I've had enough. You don't understand. It was all inclusive. Like, they had to order a new shipment of alcohol. Like, one day in, and they're like, okay, call the trucks, this guy. Right? I'm like, I'm going to be passed out on your floor in your shop. So, we just got to be friends, and so it turns out the Rojas, did you get the Rojas?
No,
I got Rogers.
Or Rogers, sorry, not Rojas. Rogers. Rogers is their brand.
Ooh.
So it was Rogers Leather Goods.
Hmm.
And they also have these cigars made for them. So that's a job shop. That's a jobber. But he had some cigars back there. And so I bought these. And I think I paid like $70 US for each one of them.
Hmm.
But I'm like, eh, fuck it. You know, market research.
Yeah.
You know? So, I picked them, but it was a lot of fun. You are not allowed to, like, drink alcohol that you bought on airplanes in America. That's against the rules. You can buy alcohol, they serve you. But there is not a rule about carrying it in your stomach. So that's what I did, carried it in my stomach and liver. but that was a lot of fun. All right, so any further tasting notes before we go to break?
Nicely consistent.
Yeah.
Nicely consistent. I think you'll find that all the way through. Also a hallmark of Cuban cigars, by the way.
I think we're going to break a lot of hearts in this episode.
Hay. Sweet hay. Spice.
Yeah.
Little mineral earth.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's very, like, round flavored. Reasonably smooth.
Yep.
And yeah, so there's not like a lot of harshness or anything on it.
Yeah. I like that.
Not a lot of excitement either, but also just cigar. Like it's there. I think. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week.
Tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
Tip of the week. So, I ran into something weird when I was in high altitude over the weekend. My jet lighter wasn't exactly working.
Oh, interesting.
So, I don't know if you ran into that issue.
No, this is a real thing. Yeah.
So, this is a real thing.
It's a good thing to bring up. Yeah.
Okay, so that was kind of cool to learn because I had completely forgotten about it. So, if you're camping or going somewhere high altitude, your jet may or may not work. Mine worked. It took a couple clicks, but it clicked in me. I was like, oh, that's why it's not working. So as a backup, bring some matches along if you're going to smoke in high altitude, because your jet may or may not work depending on your quality. But for the most part, it should. But just in case it doesn't, bring matches. So
You know what I do?
What's that?
When I go camping, every time I go camping, mm-hmm. I bring an old-fashioned Zippo okay. and some cedar spills.
Ah, okay.
And I... because I know my Zippo will always work. It can get wet, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, when I light it, I let it burn for 5 or 10 seconds.
Yep.
Because it lets that foul gas out.
Right.
It doesn't all light immediately. Mm-hmm. So I burn some of that off. And then I light the spill. And then I light my cigar. Yep. Now, here's the downside to that, and where a match, you know, might be an improvement. I don't know. But those spills just blow out if you look at them sideways.
Right.
So if you're out by a campfire... So I'm all like this, trying to shield yeah. the wind and everything. But that's what I came up with because, you know, I do plenty of cold weather mm-hmm. and high altitude camping, and both kind of suck.
Yeah.
For your jet.
So one thing that you may or may not know, because I'm not 100% certain, I think don't try to use waterproof matches, because aren't they like chemically treated the whole way through?
I think they are, yeah.
So I don't recommend lighting your cigar with a waterproof match. So
yeah.
just try to stick to yeah. your classic diamond or whatever match, you know, that's...
Yeah, like even if you burn the tip of the head off like you're supposed to, mm-hmm. or do what I do and light the tail of another match.
Yeah.
Or something like, even if you do that, the actual wood is impregnated.
Yeah.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, so don't use waterproof is my recommendation. I'm not 100% sure. If you do, hey, email us. Let us know.
A couple other little related notes. Zycar's High Performance Butane. Ostensibly, that is one of the differences why they're calling it high performance, is because it does ostensibly work better at a high altitude.
Okay.
I've not tried it myself yeah. to compare the notes. Also, if you're outside camping, a cold butane lighter has issues.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, stick it in your pocket a half hour before you want to use it. You know, do the old genie rub on it.
Now, one other thing to note, if you ever need to light your cigar or start a campfire, fail-proof, in pretty much all circumstances, just bring in separate pockets, make sure they're in different pockets, a 9-volt battery and steel wool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Touch that steel wool with a 9-volt and it will light on fire like that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's wet or whatever. That's a great way to get a real fire going.
Isn't it more convenient to have them in the same pocket, though?
Then you'll start a fire in your pocket. All right, guess what I've got, fellas? I have got Michter's Small Batch Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. There you go. And we are going to see how bourbon pairs with a Cuban. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to piss off all the bourbon people. I actually think that Michter's Sour Mash Whiskey is superior to their bourbon.
Okay.
That's just me. I'm also, you know, like, I like my bourbon. I'm not actually, like, a default bourbon guy. I'm a Scotch guy. So, you know, my palate might be different. But that's just my general taste. All right. Cheers to us. We're awesome. That is a formidable scent.
Yeah.
Stings the nose.
By the way, I've never had this, so this is cool.
Michter's is good. So me and a couple of friends went in on a bottle of, I think it's 2022 Celebration Sour Match.
Yep.
So it is currently unopened, worth about $25,000.
Nice.
So it's just an investment bottle. And yes, I was tempted, but even Johnny Midas isn't going to break that bottle open.
Wait, who has the, do each of you have one?
Who has the physical bottle?
Yeah.
That is in our safety deposit box, but we own shares in it, so.
Nice.
Yep, that's a special bottle. All right, so here we go. Bourbon and Monte Cristo. Why don't we just go ahead and do a puff sip puff?
All right. That was a little strong.
The bourbon is strong.
Yeah.
It is 91 proof.
Okay.
It feels sharper than that.
It does.
The covalent last week was 95, and it smoother. Tasted much smoother, mm-hmm. much less sharp.
Yeah, this feels more like almost 110-ish.
I think this is a rye bourbon. I think that's why.
Smoked it.
You did smoke it. Very mm-hmm. good. You learned from last week.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the interesting note that came out of that was like campfire. Okay? Mm-hmm. On the second puff after the sip, I got like a campfire flavor. Possibly also a little more vegetable bitter.
It's kind of like s'mores, but instead of chocolate, they used caramel.
Mm-hmm. I would venture to say that this bourbon is probably too sharp to pair with this cigar.
Yeah.
I think it's overpowering it a little bit. Yeah, what do you think?
Definitely.
It's changing the flavor.
It is changing the flavor. It might be usurping the flavor. That's what I would be scared of.
Yeah, it definitely is. This is too strong of a bourbon for this cigar.
Well, there's one fix for that.
Mm-hmm.
More bourbon. Actually, I'm not going to lie. I think I like the cigar way better with the bourbon.
Because it gets rid of the flavor?
No, It adds this like campfire sort of flavor. Caramel s'mores. Yeah, I don't think that's the cigar changing that quick at all.
Mm-mm.
I think that's 100%. Although just coating your palate actually helps.
I see the campfire definitely picked up.
It's so weird because there was no campfire before.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the cigar is a lot less spicy after that spicy bourbon.
Yep. Feels like it went from a 4 power to a 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree.
That's really interesting. Though. It is pleasant, yeah. Overall, great experience. As a snob, I would say I probably want a milder whiskey with this. Actually, that Shield Egg would probably be perfect.
Yeah, Scotch. Nice Scotch would go well.
Yeah. Or, if you want to go higher up on the shelf, Sassenach is actually a really, really good scotch. I think it's like $100-$110 a bottle right now. But I think that would go well with this. Okay, well, our topic this week is fake Cubans. And what I'm going to do, instead of showing you a fake Cuban, I'm going to show you real Cuban packaging and some tips and tricks to get yourself a real Cuban if you're looking for it. So, I've got a box, and I'm going to go by the box. Now, if you're looking at the actual cigar, if you are ever sold a single that's not in a box, it's probably counterfeit. But what most counterfeiters have gotten savvy to... Now, some counterfeiters are as stupid as the consumer. I actually smoked earlier this year a Cohiba Bahique in a cardboard tubo. That is fucking fake. That is not a real thing. Cohiba doesn't make those. You can just Google this. And they're like, yeah, those come from China. You know? And so, but somebody bought it and thought it was a real Cuban.
Yeah.
And so, the counterfeiters aren't going to be more clever than the consumer.
Right.
Right? So there's plenty of trash out. But I'm assuming our guys can weed that out. And by the end of the show, you'll be able to. But if you just have a plain cigar with a band on it, you know, there's some tips and tricks, but it's so hard to tell that we're going to go straight to the box. And my recommendation is buy boxes of Cubans. If you want a Cuban, don't buy anything that is not sold in a box. It's probably fake. So let's examine this box. And I'm going to point out a couple of things. So the first is, this is the tag from the shop that sold it. It has a little barcode to scan. And this says Mexican 8,620 pesos, US dollars 449. You're always going to have this because the barcode that's on the box doesn't scan at a point of sale unit. So you'll always have this somewhere. Now, I'm going to show you the aspects of this box to pay attention to. But before I do, I wanted to point out the price. So every single Cuban cigar, there are some exceptions, but when they're sold in a box, every single Cuban cigar is sold in a 10-count box with no cello. So, let me just hold that up for you guys to see. Right, this is what a Cuban cigar box looks like. 10-count. And on this box, it says 10 Double Edmundos, and then stamped into the side, 10 Monte Cristo Double Edmundos. Every single Cuban cigar box, without exception, 10 count, no cello. That's the first place to start. Now, the second thing that we're going to look at, most of your Cuban cigars are in wooden boxes like this. There's not a lot of fancy packaging to come out of Cuba, but you can see this right here, Habanos Denominación de Origen Protegida. This is like the quality seal from Habanos S.A. It does look like this. It's over the corner. It's always over the top left corner. And here's some things to look for. Do you see how this is all bunched up and rolled up here? That's because I opened the box. And when you open it, because it's over the hinge, almost always, it does that. And so if you are shopping for cigars and you see that already pre-curled up, that's a red flag. Second, most of your cigars have this side seal. So this has got the Monte Cristo side seal right there. Quell Dorsey has one. Cohiba has one. On the right-hand side of the box, if you're staring down at the top. And you want to make sure that someone hasn't carefully slit through it with a razor knife to open the box. Why? Because used Cuban boxes sell for a premium. Why? Because counterfeiters put their cigars in there and resell them.
It's the empty Pappy Van Winkle bottle.
It's the empty Pappy Van Winkle bottle. Yep. It's exactly what it is. So on the right-hand side of the box, you're going to have two separate seals. The Habanos one is almost always on top of the original seal. Both of those should not be slit. And for this Monte Cristo, the way that they line this up, it switches from gold to yellow right at the seam of the lid. Which means, if you're not paying attention, someone can slice that with a razor blade, you can't tell. The Habanos one is much easier to tell if it's been sliced through. Maybe that's why they do it. Second, what you have right here, that is your quality control seal. This is the Cuban seal. You're going to have this on your Cuban cigars. It does have a hologram here, which can be faked, but a lot of the fakes are not a true hologram. It's actually printed on foil. But if you hold this up and wiggle it around, you can see it says Aquí and Habanos. If you can see that, and it is a true three-dimensional hologram.
Yep. That's cool.
Now, here's where this gets really cool. Underneath this seal is a second seal, right? So I'm peeling this back, and you can see on the back, the second seal, you cannot get it off without it separating like this, right? So you can see the back of the sticker is on here. This seal is made out of a double layer plastic. See how you just can't get it off without fucking it up. It's a double layer. And so if you were to take the top seal and peel it back, this one stays there. And as you peel it off, you can see the Habanos logo underneath you. Right? So there is that to look at. So it is a double layer seal. So here's what the clever counterfeiters do, is they will steam this end up to peel both layers up. They'll slit these very carefully, and they will refill this box. And that's what you're looking for. This should be 100% affixed. If you can get your finger up on it, peel it back, this bottom seal should be affixed to both. This one's not, because I steamed it open on purpose so that I could save it for the show, because this will just destroy. And it's designed that way on purpose to actually leave the ink attached to the box. But guess what? You can get right around that. I did it, right? So I just took a garment steamer, steamed it until it bubbled up, and it comes right off of the wood. I mean, wood is porous. But when you, if you don't do that, when you tear it open, it tears. Let me see if I can do this correctly. It tears like this. See how that's tearing off?
Yeah.
And it leaves that little strip of paper, which I did leave some on there because I didn't separate the back tail of that. So you basically, you destroy it by opening it, right? And it's designed that way on purpose. So all of those are hallmarks of a real Cuban box. If this is intact, this is the most important one. If this is intact and not peeled up, it's not a counterfeit box. These are almost impossible to counterfeit. They will usually be slit down the side, not replaced. And when you go to take it off, you can see, like, this one, it just leaves like a glue stain or whatever, so you could theoretically try to replace it. Some do. That is basically impossible. It's actually three-layer seal with the hologram. Very, very, like, so expensive to counterfeit, what's the point, right? So make sure your seals are intact. That is the best way to guarantee that you got actual Habana Cuba. I'm going to put this back on because it's cool. Cuban cigars. When you're shopping for Cuban cigars, shop at a reputable retailer. And the most reputable that you can shop at is the duty-free store at the airport. These guys have contracts with Habanos S.A. to stock Cuban cigars. And they are also audited, taxed, you know, all of this stuff. They have eyes on them. But I have seen open boxes of Cubans at duty free. I don't buy them. Always check, this is the most important seal. I always check that one. And if I'm going to end up destroying the box by removing it, by removing the seal, then I'll buy it. If I can pull that flap up and tell it's already been steamed open, nope, not buying it. Right? So I have seen some that were pre-opened. Right. Now, that's not to say they were counterfeit. They may have been open for a good reason, to sell singles or display them or something at some point. I'm still not buying. Yeah. Another thing that you can do is to buy something that isn't a Cohiba or a Monte Cristo. Right? Cohiba is the most counterfeited luxury brand in the world. Mm-hmm. Monte Cristo is counterfeited as well. Partagas to some extent. But a brand like Qual d'Orsi, nobody's going to the trouble to counterfeit those. Right? Of course, it does depend where you're at.
Yeah.
Right? If you are in Switzerland, for example, it's hard to find a counterfeit Cuban. Mm-hmm. Why would you? You can buy them on every street corner. You know, there's just not a lot of benefit. If you're in China, there is a very, very good chance that it is not Cuban. Right? 99% chance it's not a real Cuban. There's not enough to go around the whole world, let alone China. Right? But you can use the method of examining the box.
Yeah, don't buy them out of the jars at Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba is also fairly good at labeling their certified shops, Casa de Habano.
Yep.
If you see that sign, then you're guaranteed these are, you know, the real thing.
Now, the last thing I forgot to mention, because I had pulled the price tag off, that was actually part of the check. So you will notice 10-count box, they're all 10-count boxes, $449 US. $40 a stick is the going rate for a Cuban cigar. You could pay more than that. You will not pay less than that.
Yeah, if they're offering you a deal, it's not a deal.
It's not a deal because Habanos S.A. doesn't tell you what you can sell the cigar for, but they do set what you can, what you're going to get it sold to you for, right? And if you're going to turn a penny of profit, it's going to be $40 a stick or more. In this case, $45 a stick. And that's, you know, the Col Dorsey's, same thing. They were actually slightly more expensive than these Monte Cristos, but about $47 a stick, something like that, $48 a stick. And so when we rank this cigar, we are going to have to talk about value and the price.
Fuck China.
And fuck China.
China.
Okay, so that's kind of it. My advice is always buy a sealed box of Habanos and check the seals. Make sure the box hasn't been opened and you're good. In terms of the cigar, getting back to the cigar, this thing is sneaking up. The nicotine is sneaking up on me a little bit. What do you guys think?
I agree.
It is what Cubans are known for, is tasting much milder than they actually are. Yes, I'm
feeling a little nicotine buzz.
This is more a 7 than a 6.
That's what I was saying. It's
at
going,
this moment.
It's going from 6
but
to
it's
7.
Still smoking like a 3 to a 4.
Yeah, agree. Here, let me borrow your quad flame, would you? I need to. I've been talking a lot. I need to relight this bad boy.
So, on the cajitas, and John, can you hold up the edge of your box and show them like the little black and white dots on the Monte Cristo? So, on cojibas, they're black and white, and there should be a total of 9 layers of black and white checks, and if you see any of the squares that are not perfect, there is another hint specifically for cojibas that, that's not the real thing.
Yes. Yep.
If it is off half a millimeter, it's not right.
Yeah.
Now, on the cigar band, one thing you'll notice, look at where the band is sealed.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I will give quality control for Cuba, that band is matched up perfectly, and that's all they accept. If you have a band that's off by half a millimeter, it's probably not a Cuban. Even with Cohiba, they even line up the dots so that you will never see a half dot on the band.
Mm-hmm.
It's only full squares, those square dots. So those are some other things you can look at. However, if you are a counterfeiter, that's the easiest thing to get right.
Right.
The hardest thing is this Republic de Cuba seal, and it's there for a reason, right? That is the hardest one to fake.
Oh, wait, that seal's cool shit.
It is.
It's cool shit to see.
Now, I brought this one in because our cigars are in it.
Mm.
I have a Cohiba box and maybe something else at home, and it's all the same. All of them have a side seal, the Republic of Cuba seal, and the Habanos corner label thing. All of them. So, now, I did get I got a 3-pack of Seaglow 1 tubos. So it was a cardboard sleeve with 3 tubos in it. So you will see some stuff like that. And those are legit. But my recommendation is buy a box. It will be a 10 count. They will not be in cello. If it's more than 10, it's not Cuban. If they're in cello, it's not Cuban. If the seal is broken, it's not Cuban. So do yourself a favor because, you know, you're not saving money. If you buy a fake Cuban, it's Indonesian and Chinese tobacco.
Actually, you're wasting more money.
You're wasting it.
Since 1912.
All right, so that was our informational segment. Something a little different and special, hopefully, for you guys out there. And, you know, my advice is always, always, always do whatever it takes to smoke a Cuban. You can't be a cigar aficionado and not smoke one. And then you can decide if you want to keep smoking.
That's right.
Right. And we'll talk more about that later. But let's touch on the cigar real quick before our second break. There's a little bit of harshness, and I don't know if that's because of the bourbon on my palate. There's a little bitter. Other than that, the flavors are very consistent. Yeah. They did change post-bourbon for me, but they, you know, the change is consistent now. So.
It has lost some of that kind of sweetness that came out of the hay flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a slight
bit. And that was part of why I was finishing my bourbon early, just to get back to let the cigar ride its way.
Yeah, the spiciness is still there. But I think you're right. I think the sweet has gone down and the bitter has gone up. But it's still just a reminder or a hint. It's not like smoking a Connecticut or something.
Yeah. Still mild smoke, like as far as flavor wise.
Yes, light, aromatic, flavorful. But the nicotine punch, it's there, I can feel it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. More like a 7.
Yep.
Smoking as a 2.5. All right, why don't we go to break? When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week. Keep your dial locked in to Burnline Podcast.
Cigar News of the Week with Angel Solorio.
All right, we're back. News of the Week. So, Drew Estate is getting a new distributor for Europe, specifically the Netherlands, but it's still most of Europe. They're trying to expand into that. So they're going to Small Batch Traders BV is the name of the distributor. So hopefully going to widen them up to the European market.
Interesting.
So hopefully that goes well.
Yeah, Europe operates differently.
Yeah, they do.
Country by country.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the, I guess with their new taxes and all that we talked about a few weeks ago, a month ago.
Well, part of the challenge is just size. Like, in America, we don't always get it. But it's like, you know, Germany fits inside of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, France fits inside of Texas. We have big states. And, you know, for us, like, driving from Pennsylvania to Maryland, through Maryland to Virginia,
mm-hmm.
you travel across 3 states, all governed by United States interstate commerce laws. And you have differences in taxes, and that's kind of it. But in Europe, you're in 3 different countries, same road trip, right? Now you have, different laws and stuff. So the distributors have quite their hands full there.
All right, and then since we're on a Cuban topic, not a Cuban, but Cuban, Jason Newman's releasing a new line called Cerzadas, inspired by a cigar from way back in the early 1900s that was Cuban. It's going to have tobacco from the DR and Nicaragua, not specified, you know, the blend of mix, but and it's going to be rolled in the Nicaragua factory, so not in the El Rolo. So, it does use, it does use Ecuadorian shade wrapper, so take your shot.
What's the MSRP?
The MSRP, actually it's not bad, 5.5 by 43, $775, Robusto, $875, Toro, $950, Churchill, $10.
That is a great price.
JC Newman, let's go.
Quit taking Fuente lessons.
Yeah.
Here's a $10 stick.
$55. Yeah.
Sounds right to me.
And speaking of Cuban, Diplomáticos Cancilleres is going to be going on sale in Bulgaria. If you're in Bulgaria, hook us up. So it's a. God, he's fucking cute. The metrics.
Metric measurement. Okay. How many cheeseburgers? How many cheeseburgers wide is it?
It's cheese. It's one Big Mac thick. No. So it's 130 millimeter by 50. So that's 5 1/8 by 50. So it's going to be called a fino. Pricing is going to be $20.87 a stick, $521 a box. Box of 25.
Interesting. Like, if I were going to pick a single country to release a cigar in. Like, Bulgaria doesn't seem like it'd be at the top of my list. I don't know anything about it.
I'm not even sure top 10.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm sure it's not top 10.
Bloc, I guess the Eastern Bloc countries do like smoke cigars. Like,
I don't know.
It's so weird.
It just seems different to me.
Like, hard to get information out of them.
I wonder if it has to do with the laws.
I don't know.
Like, maybe they're super easy to...
And they're not EU, correct?
Bulgaria?
Yeah, like... I know they're European, but mainland Europe, but I don't think... They're like, fuck you, we not European like you. I don't know.
I don't know, but these days, I'm not sure too many people are proud to be part of the EU, but that's a political discussion for our other podcast, but... Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I got for you.
All right, well, it's a slow news cycle.
Yes.
People don't usually, other than, like, Christmas releases,
there's not a lot. There's some TAA that came out, but it's every single one, every year, so...
Well, really, we're past the Christmas releases. No, we really are.
Waiting on some of the other horses' shoes to
yeah,
drop.
Yeah.
The other horseshoes
waiting
to drop.
For the other horseshoes to drop. Yeah.
So, stand by for those and for more litigation on that.
All right, so...
Lawyers winning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the only people that win in that whole thing. Yeah, that wasn't a great experience, Tom. Just clogged it up.
Weird.
All right, so I'm a solid 3/5 of the way through. Tom, half?
Oh, I'm a little bit past half. I'll say
65%. 65?
Yeah.
Angel, you're about 70%? Okay. So, not done, but we're ready to go ahead and rank this cigar. And this is the classic Monte Cristo from Havana, Cuba. These are the Double Edmundo. Is what they call it, and it's really a Toro. We would call this a Toro. So let's start with presentation. This is a weird one because I think this is one of those cigars where if they changed anything, the entire world would scream in uproar. You know, this is like a classic Ferrari or something. I mean, I could go both ways with this. Like, for me, this is about a 4. But
they also set the standard.
They set the standard. Yeah. So, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with an 8 because this is what you want to see from a Monte Cristo. I could stand to see a little more pizzazz, to be honest with you. But they don't have any trouble moving them. They sell every box they make. So, what do you guys think for a presentation?
Yeah. 7, 8. I mean, it is what it is. They can't go any further, and it's like, here it is, because they really can't.
I'll stick with an 8 just because they owned it first.
I think that's fair. You know, it's such a classic presentation. You know, it's kind of like a Bentley. It has to look like a fucking Bentley.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like Padron. There's Padron copying these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
With
that's
less
fair.
Stickers.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah, they set the standard. Yeah.
No. All right, so that brings us to construction. So the exterior was not super pretty, but I don't think any of us had construction issues.
I did have a pop halfway through in the
wrapper.
Not from a cut or me banging it. It literally just popped. But I don't know.
And it's properly humidified?
Yeah, it's just expected, honestly. Like, I've smoked Cubans before, so it's like, I'm not even surprised.
They do have delicate wrappers.
Yeah, I'm just not surprised. I'm not going to ding them on that. It's just like...
Well, we got to take off a point for that. Tom, any issues?
I'm very pleased with it. You know, it's been solid, a nice even burn. Ash is hanging on to inch and a quarter.
So we'll give that a 9. Take 1 point off for Angel's pop wrapper. All right, now, this brings us to price/value. $45 a stick. So what do you think?
That's a 1.
A 1? Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, some of that is obviously going to be subjective because for most of my cigar life, these were $20 a pop. Back to fuck you, China, when they opened up that market, well, you just, you know...
Doubled the price.
Tripled the demand while the supply didn't grow one more cigar.
Yeah.
And da-da-da-da. Yeah. So the prices just went through the roof. I can think of, you know, in my mind, this is a good $20 to $25 cigar.
Okay.
There are a million cigars that cost more than 25 and less than 45 that I would say are better than this. But it's a Cuban. If you get them, get them. Smoke it. It's fun. You know, it's not like you're smoking it every day.
All right. Well, we got to have a number. What's your number?
Only as an ode, it is one of the world's most iconic cigars. I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. I'll give it a 4 as well. We'll bring that down to a 3 with Angel's input. So, tell me why you think this is a bad value.
Well, okay, sure, it is the Cuban part of it, but it's like, I could smoke way better sticks. Like, we've smoked Cubans before. It's like, for this price, I'll go pick up a Plasencia.
Well, 2 Plasencias.
2 Plasencias, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. The reason that it gets a 4
right.
is you have to pay to play.
Yeah.
So if you want to smoke Monte Cristo, this is the price. Mm-hmm. And they sell every fucking box, so they didn't price it wrong.
Yeah.
But having said that, it is not wrong to say that I can get a better cigar for $12 in the United States. Tom, what about that diesel-worthy fool?
That was actually running through my brain. It's like, all in all, I'd rather smoke a diesel-worthy fool.
I would rather smoke a diesel-worthy fool. It was a better cigar. And, the box price came out to what, $10 a stick?
It was about the whole box, it was $9.
$9 a stick? Yeah. So, I mean, you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm.
And this cigar is not as good of a cigar, and it's $45. And it's just not a great price. And so I think that's where your one is coming from.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, and I bought a box of Worthy Fools, and I smoked them all because I'm a selfish motherfucker.
Yeah.
I found it in my office today. It's a cool box.
I remember, yeah.
It is.
And I opened it up, and I'm like, please, dear Lord, let there be one left. I know I smoked them all, but please. And I opened it up, and there was Halloween candy in it. So I handed it out to folks. I guess I had a secret stash. But all right, so that brings us to flavor. This one is an interesting topic for me because it has a super classic Cuban flavor. And I think anybody, like, if you're looking for that Cuban experience, buy the fucking Monte Cristo. Make sure it's real. And you're going to experience it. And I think you should. I think everybody that's a cigar passionado should. But, and here's the big but. I would get super fucking sick of smoking this over and over and over. I just would. You know, I want a little variety. And it's not that awesome.
Right.
It's just not. It
would be tough to go straight through a box.
Yeah.
It would be tough to go straight through a box. It's just not that awesome. It's good. But, I mean... Yeah, you got $9, $10, $11, not to mention you get up into the $17, $18 range where you have much better flavor. And I'm going to go out here, I'm going to say something that's going to piss a lot of people off. Go buy a box of Chateau Fuente Double Naturals. They're better cigars.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to get mad at that, though?
You know, and that's 10 sticks for, what is that, $140, I think, instead of $450.
Yeah.
They're better cigars. And, so flavor, I mean, this is a tough one. I'm at a 7 because it's still the classic Monte Cristo flavor. And I think you should experience it to, you know, round out your thing as a cigar smoker. But having said that, if somebody, you know, I can be convinced to rank it at a 4.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pick 7 just because... You know, it's like driving a Ferrari Testarossa. You gotta drive it. It's a shit car. A Honda Civic off the lot hybrid can beat it around a track nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a Testarossa.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about the flavor in this cigar, where it's like there's much, much better cigars nowadays. There just are, especially in America, where we have a broad variety, the broadest variety, the broadest. Some people are saying, I'm not saying, some people are saying. But it's like driving a Testarossa.
Yeah.
So that's why I gave it a 7. So, Angel, where are you at?
I was actually thinking an 8, only because it's like, okay, yes, are the cigars available for America way better? But at the same time, it's like, you want to taste old world and, like, Cuban?
Yeah.
Like, get the taste of Cuba? Here it is. It's right here. So I'll give it an 8 for that reason. It's like, you have to try this.
I think that's fair, because if I buy a box of Monte Cristos for $450, I want to taste Monte Cristo, not Plasencia, not Fuente, not Padron, not anybody else.
Oh, and by the way, American Monte Cristo is also being used with permission.
Oh, that's true.
We didn't talk about that, by the way.
Yes, the
Cohiba.
Yes, the Monte Cristos that are sold, made in the Dominican Republic, they did get the rights legally to do that.
We're finally going to court after 50 years?
No, for Monte Cristo, I think from the get-go, they got permission. I think they did it right for you.
I think.
Yeah, and there was that weird thing around the beginning of the year they were talking about, oh, by the way, you're not allowed, the government, the senior administration. I think that kind of died because it was kind of dumb.
Tom, we still need a number for you on flavor.
Again, I'm going to echo a lot of what you both said. On its own, I would give it a 4. But because it is one of the world's most iconic cigars, it has earned the right to say it's a 7. It is one of the bars by which other cigars are measured. Is that right? I'm happy to give it to it.
By the way, now that I'm in the final third, the actual strength is like a 5.
Yes.
It's picked up a lot. The nicotine is a 7.
Yeah.
It will punch you in the back of the head. All right, so that brings us to experience. Okay, this is a weird one. You can't do anything with this except fucking smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not do anything except smoke it. Maybe you can take it to the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Show it off, yeah.
Show it off, yeah. And you can absolutely gift it, and even though this is just a blah, run-of-the-mill Monte Cristo, give somebody one of these as a Cuban, it's a gift. This can even be you made CEO or you got married gift. A whole box? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sealed box. And then, of course, in terms of like, hey, have a cigar to your cigar smoking friend, it's a real Cuban. Yeah, it's got some play there, right?
Got some sizzle.
Yeah. And what's weird about smoking these is, to me, even though, like Tom said, I'm not going to smoke another one, right? Getting through a whole box seems like it would be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a fucking vibe, partly because it's forbidden fruit in America, you know? And it has a, hey, I'm smoking a real Cuban vibe, you know? Big middle finger to the government and, you know, and... go capitalism and everything else, you know, you kind of feel like a big man smoking one. Feels special, I think. And so really, I've got like an 8 for experience. Like, yeah, the actual cigar is not really that special, but it is.
Yeah, it's not a daily smoker.
Yeah, it's hard to find. It's not a daily smoker. You know, just, it feels special. So, I think I'm at an 8 for experience. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll agree with the 8, especially like smoking it in this setting. Like, I get to share with two guys that appreciate cigars in general and don't shit talk just to shit talk. It's a fucking Cuban. Like, smoke one.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
Smoke a fucking Cuban.
Now, if we were in Mexico,
yeah,
not special at all.
Yeah.
You can buy them everywhere.
Yeah.
You
know? I'd say I agree with you. Make it a solid 8 across the board. It is, you know, a definitive experience. I maybe smoke 4 Cubans a year. I'm always glad when I do. I'm always glad I'm not way into Cubans.
Yep.
So that brings the final score for this. Monte Cristo, that's it. It's just a Monte Cristo. That's how Cubans roll. Bring it to a 35.
Okay.
Pretty good showing. And here's where I would just, you know, like throw in a few caveats. If you're looking to smoke a delicious cigar and you don't give a fuck that it's from Cuba or wherever else, just don't waste your time, because it's not that good of a cigar.
No.
It's not terrible, but it's not awesome.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you know, if you want to round out your experience as a cigar aficionado or whatever, you kind of have to smoke one. And it can be super cool. You can have a Cuban party or whatever you want.
Yeah.
And if you took price out of the equation, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if this was $10,
yeah,
this would be a scoring a lot higher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because that's where it should be priced at, is like maybe 10 to 12.
Well, I mean, in today's market, I think 17 is fair. For a Toro, you know, 13 is like the break even for Robusto, 14 or 15. I think you'd go up to 17, and I'd still buy it.
Yeah.
At $45 a stick? No, I bought it because I could, because I was in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I wanted to share it with everybody and share with all of you guys, but I'm not going out of my way to buy more. They're just overpriced, you know.
And two little hints for a lot of people that probably don't watch this show. Never walk into a cigar store and say, I only smoke Cubans. Or the flip of that of, walk into the cigar store and say, do you have any Cubans? You have just instantly classified yourself as you know nothing about cigars.
Or, my all-time favorite, what do you have under the counter?
Yeah. My tobacco license, which is not at risk.
Right. That's what's under the counter. Yeah, for sure. All right, so that wraps the show for today. A classic Monte Cristo Cuban. Thank you for joining us and sharing it with us, as well as Michter's Small Batch Bourbon, which we both all agreed was a little too sharp to pair with a cigar that's sort of mild like this.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to drink the rest of the bottle, because by itself, seems like it wants to play.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring it to the party next week.
A decent beverage, no doubt.
Yes, a decent beverage, no doubt. Thank you for joining us on Burn Line Podcast. We will see you again next week.